good posture. We smile. We look happy. We want to be here.
I'm here.
What Stuart Smiley say? I'm good enough. I'm smart enough. And gosh darn it, people like me. Is that?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I'm talking about right there. That's what gets this show fired up, gets us going.
Yeah.
Where are our viewers?
It's good posture. It's a smile on your face. Is that it?
Yeah.
Because what is that? Is that a smile, Eric? Yeah. I don't know what that is. Don't scare it. You're scaring them away. There's nobody here.
It's empty. It's that little eye that says, "Oh, there they." They just popped up. Whew. Oh, thank goodness! I thought we had nobody. Here we are.
They're all here. They're ready to go and ready to hear about. It's going to be a good episode. I'm looking forward to this one. We've been talking about the World's End Ultra for a little bit. I think this one applies to anybody who's had a tough race, though, not just that race.
You're right. We need to make it clear that we're not beating that dead horse.
Yeah.
Like a pulp with World's End. It just happened to be like we came up this idea and these guys, anyway, we should probably start the show first, though.
We should. It's going to be good. It's going to be good.
All right. You want me to do the thing?
Do the thing.
All right. I guess. Here we go. Grace, it's episode number 67, and there are no rhymes for the number of this show. Hopefully no one will notice if we keep it hush-hush on the down low.
I'm Eric Idiot Renner Kosek.
And I'm Grace Hot Pants Langheim. Eric is all business in the front of the pack, and I am all about the party in the back.
That's right, business up front and party in the back. Together, we are the Running Mullet.
And we are going to talk about every aspect of running, the podium to the DNF and everything in between.
If you are a runner, this show is for you. Now sit back, get out your foam roller, and enjoy the party.
Grace, did you know that the real name for a hashtag is an Octothorpe?
No, I didn't. Why do you tell me these things?
You know now. You can take this into work tomorrow. You can look smart. You can sound smart. You don't look smart, but you can sound smart and impress people. Octothorpe smart pants, you know?
Yeah. Thank you. You're a helper, Eric. You really
Write
are.
It down. Write it down so you don't remember. Octothorpe, so you don't forget it.
Yeah, got it.
All right. How are you, Grace?
I'm good. How are you? How was your weekend?
My weekend was pretty good. Yeah, just another weekend.
Yeah.
Nothing crazy in there.
Cool.
I don't think. I kicked butt at mini golf one day, but that's a common theme. Yeah. My kids are getting good, though, now, so it might not be for very much longer.
You're going to have to start cheating.
Yeah. I hit myself once with the golf ball, but
that's a talent in itself. Yeah.
So how was your weekend?
My weekend was great. It was pretty low key and did a little bit of running, a little bit of hiking, and it was good. Enjoyed it.
I'm leaving. Goodbye.
Sweet. All right. There goes Eric.
I'm back.
He's back. Okay. You're right?
Yeah, I'm good. I had to turn the light off. So, what I have going on here with my face is a beautiful thing, but the lights tend to make it even look more beautiful. So I got to make sure that I accentuate the features that people want to see.
Okay. I mean, you got some shine happening right now.
Yeah.
Fine.
You know what? We're getting crazy high live numbers the past couple shows.
That's because we have – I think it's because we have two great guests on.
Oh, it's not me?
Sure. It's also you. But we had two great guests, and I think we should bring them on because they have some amazing stories.
All right. You're right. This show is called The Comeback Kids, right?
Yep.
That is referring to two athletes – that Did not complete a 100K ultramarathon, namely World's End 100K.
Uh-huh.
And they came back this year and they both completed it.
Yes, it's a very difficult 100K. And for anybody listening out there, if you've been through that scenario before, if you've had a recent DNF, if you want a little bit of hope on the horizon, then listen into this episode, because these two stories are magnificent stories, and we're gonna hear all the awfulness of their initial races, and then hear how they came back and they did it.
And we promise you, after this episode, World's End book will be shut until next year.
Yes.
So this doesn't have as much to do with World's End as it does do with their journey and completing something that they started.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yep.
So we're going to add on Jeff Kearns and Lacey Lisi. Jeff was on the show last year, pre-World's End, to talk about his game plan.
Yeah.
And I believe that's pretty much what we chatted about with him, what he envisioned the race going to be, his crew, his pacers, all that. And he did not complete the race last year and then came back this year for the finishing time.
Well, and I'm going to back up, and Jeff will correct you too. That was his second DNF. Last year when he was on the show was his comeback episode. But then it didn't end up happening. So, and then Lacey has a very cool story too. But so Jeff, since you're the one who's been on the show before, we'll let you kick it off and be the first one. So tell us a little bit about your two DNFs first.
Sure.
And then we'll hear Lacey's DNF. We'll get through everybody's DNFs first.
Sounds good. So let's see. Started out the 2022 World's End. That was my first attempt at the World's End 100K. And I got to Canyon Vista. So, and was feeling absolutely gutted. I was, let me rephrase. I thought I was gutted. I thought it was the worst thing I'd ever done. I felt terrible. My wife was there with a chair and the van. And I said, well, the next time I'm going to see you at that time would have been High Knob. So it was like 13 miles before I would have seen anyone again, and said, I don't want to do this anymore, and pulled the ripcord. Hmm. And that, you know, that was the first kind of go at it. And I, you know, didn't really, my head was not in it. So then that was 22. In 23, I said, you know, I got to come back and do this properly and give it a proper shot. And got to Fern Rock with 40 seconds to go on the cutoff.
Yeah. And at that point, which is the last aid station. So you got to the last aid station, 40
with
seconds
six
to go.
6 miles left, an hour to cut off. And I said, there's the numbers. I'm not going to make 6 miles in an hour. It's just not going to happen. And decided, instead of taking 2 hours to get to the end and causing the race to stay open for another extra hour past the time it should close, probably better just to close the shop. And so, you know, I was kind of okay with that for a while. You know, my head is, you know, it was a good effort, got further than I had before. That was the furthest I had traveled in a race up to that point. And decided maybe like a week afterwards that it was probably not going to set like that. And just, I had to go finish it. It's kind of my MO. So then this year, obviously we came back and.
Hold off on that story. We got
there you go.
Let's hold on the two DNFs. So DNF twice.
Yep.
And I think your second DNF especially was a pretty epic one. You know, I remember seeing you come into the aid station and everybody's like, we're going to get him happy. In and out. We're going to make this happen. You came in and you had a conversation with Carly, your wife, and it was like, nope, this is not happening. And it was, you know, that's always a bummer.
Shut it down.
Yeah, there was a lot of people at Fern Rock and trying to keep everybody pumped up and going. And
I had to give my bib to Patrick and walk away from it. That was that.
Yeah.
It was kind of a letdown.
It was a letdown.
It was still 58 miles in the book.
Yeah. And that's the thing. You had 58 miles, did not get a buckle.
Yep. No check mark.
Oh, man. We're going to turn this around, I promise you. But we got to hear Lacey's. We got to go through all the rough and tumble stuff first.
Yeah, unfortunately.
So, Lacey, you also had a DNF at World's End. Take us through what happened.
Back in 2022, that's when I did my first attempt at World's End. My training was not good. I mean, I trained a lot, but I overtrained, I think, and it just didn't work out for my body. But and I kind of did like the cardinal sin of listening to fellow trail runners saying, oh, the first 20 miles is the hardest. If you get through that, you'll be A-okay. And I thought the first 20 miles was great. I'm like, oh, that's the hardest. I got this in the bag. And after dry run, everything just went sideways. And so I did pretty good up until dry run. After that, I started really slowing down. I had tendonitis in my ankle from the previous year, and that started to flare up. So I have it start shooting up my leg and shin problems. And I was pretty much done. And I picked up Brooke as my pacer at Brunerdale, and I was in tears. I was crying. I was angry. I'm like, I don't want to do this anymore. And he's like, nope, we're going. We're getting out of here. And pretty much how Jeff did last year, I made it to Fern Rock 4 minutes before cutoff. Did not want to go. I in my mind, I was done. I'm not going. There's no way I can make it in an hour. But Michelle Bennett and Michael Lowe pretty much blocked me from the aid station. Like, get the hell out of here. You're not quitting. I'm like crying. I tried to push. Unfortunately, I got an unofficial finish 2022. If you've been on that part of the course at nighttime, you get to the part about a half mile before the downhill where you can see the airstrip lights, you can hear all the people down below, and then that's when I heard the air horn go off, and I'm like, well, that sucks. I'm like, so close, but so far.
Yeah. And so air horn means race is over, and this is a strict cutoff. You're done. So you were about a mile from
the finish. I think about a mile and a half, so I wasn't too far. But as just that hour cutoff from the end, that's all. When you're chasing cutoffs, that's almost an impossible feat at the end. You got to really be moving, and you're not moving at that point like you want to be. So,
it was
a bummer. But I mean, I knew I put a lot into that race. So I'm like, I've learned things, but I had no intention of going back for a while because I'm like, that race sucked. I don't want to do it again. And unfortunately, it kind of was a setup for the next several ultras that I did where I kind of just was in a bad mindset then, because I'm like, God, my first DNF. And then I had continuous DNFs after that. So it was a struggle to get my turnaround point to get back my head back into the game, because it messes with you when you get your first DNF, because you're on a high for so long and then it's like, oh, shit.
I remember leading up to that race, you were on a streak of just killing it race after race. And you haven't been, neither one of you have been running ultras for too long.
No,
you know,
2021 was my first year of ultras. So only a year before that, but I cram packed a lot into that year before that. So,
right. Yeah. And Jeff, you, how long have you been doing ultras?
So my first ultra was a KTA in 2014.
Oh, that's a while back then.
Which was in fact a DNF.
Okay.
So my debut into the ultra distance. Well, actually, I take that back. That may not have been a true ultra. It was in 28, 29 miles, maybe. So not quite 50K, but yeah, that was my first foray was a DNF, which is interesting. Yeah. So it's not just World's End. It's more than that.
So not your first DNF, but it was that was kind of a longer distance for you, at least. That was creeping into the 100K was World's End.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So Lacey, you also did not get the buckle.
No buckle.
Oh my gosh.
And I had to surrender my bib, which that was. I keep all my bibs, so that was a sad moment to give that away.
Mm-hmm. It's a pretty cool bib too. It's a little mini.
I know. They are very nice.
Yeah. Okay. So let's bring these stories back around. Both of you had some not just a DNF, but really, really close to finishing and finishing an incredibly difficult race. I mean, this race typically has between 55% to 65% finish rate. So it's definitely on the difficult side of 100Ks, and it's pretty technical. But, Jeff, I mean, Eric, I was thinking we start with what did you do differently? You
want to start there? That's exactly what I want to ask, like for both of you. And you might not even have an answer for that. It might have just been a different day, and your training was different. But is there anything, that stands out from what your last DNF to crossing that finish line? What did you do different that got you there in time this go around? Jeff, go ahead.
Yeah, I think the training regimen was significantly more diligent. Like it was a deliberate, I worked with a very awesome running coach, and since about December timeframe, and just kind of said, you know, I have to throw everything, including the kitchen sink, into this, and just say it just had to be more focus. So there was a more deliberate, more diligent training regimen. I would say it wasn't more vigorous, really. I would say the mileage was probably, if I was going to guess, it was slightly lower than what I had trained before. I did add some significant strength training. Well, I won't say significant. For me, it was. It was much more than what I have done in the past. I think there was just an added focus this year. It was that would be the difference. Also, I think the temperature was slightly lower for the day, which helped. The game day difference, I think what I call the heat protocol started a little sooner, which is ice and just trying to reduce speed to allow for the body to cool off a little quicker.
Mm-hmm. I think one more thing that you did, Jeff, you went out and you did, you simulated a training camp weekend.
I did.
Yeah. So you went out there on a very rainy weekend, actually, and did most of the course ahead of time just to refamiliarize yourself, I think, with the course and such.
Yeah, that actually was, that's a good point. That I feel was probably more beneficial than I thought it was going to be. Mm-hmm. Just going out and saying, okay, in my mind, I now know like where things are geographically so that, you know, when I get to that point, this is familiar and kind of helped me keep my head moving forward and not that dark place where you go, oh, the time is winnowing away and it's just, you're just not going to make it. No, we're okay. I know where we are and we're going to be okay. So that I think was more beneficial than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. And so I was pretty excited that I got to coach you. And it was pretty cool because it's a coach's dream when an athlete says, hey, I want to do this race. Will you help me work on it? And you're like, yeah, sure. So you ask all the questions and you say, and the athlete says, I'm willing to do whatever it takes. Like, for real? For real, whatever it takes? Yes, whatever it takes. Sweet. well, here's what we're going to do. And that's just a coach's dream when somebody says, I'm going to do whatever it takes. And then they actually do it at least to the best of their ability. So that was pretty cool.
And I think for me, just to kind of put this into perspective, I've been attempting the 100K distance since 2020. And this is the first time I've been able to finish one. And I needed to do anything that was reasonably asked to get to the end of that course. That was, I think, my mindset going into it.
Yeah.
All right. Good stuff. Lacey. Now, not the weather. The weather, this was an amazing year as far as weather.
Oh, it was. The weather was beautiful this year. I couldn't have asked for any better weather. I was glad. Yeah. With all the rain we've been getting, I was so worried leading up to it. I'm like, if it rains, this is not going to turn out very well.
Right.
I'm not a rainy weather person. I don't like it.
What stands out to you? Did anything special happen or anything you noticed that was better? Was your training more regimented or what?
Like back in 2022, I was more about like, I was still like fairly new to getting into ultra. So I'm just like, oh, I need all these miles all the time. So like Jeff said, my mileage this year has actually been a lot lower than it was in 2022. I went in smarter, adding more elevation, adding more speed work and hill work, and not necessarily focusing on the miles, but seeing what elevation I could get. Cause I think that helped me in the longer run than, going out for a 20-mile run 3 times a week, because that just killed my body. My body couldn't keep up with the mileage. So
yeah,
I think that was a big help. I also added a lot of like mobility training, where it's like the primal movement kind of stuff. And I think that helped prevent a lot of injuries because my hip flexors are a lot more like mobile. Everything just the first year without feeling like something was going to break on me while I'm running. So I'm like, something is just clicking. Even with Heiner 50K, when I did that one, I felt amazing. So I'm like, we're going to keep this up. We're going to see if this works for a longer run. And it did. So I think just going in with a better mindset where if I don't get the mileage or the elevation, it wasn't like stress me out the rest of the week or like, oh, now I got to make up for it because I didn't do it this day. So it's just, I had to go in with a clearer head. I had to not focus so much on the numbers, just focus on what my body felt like. And my body felt amazing. So I'm like, we'll go from there. And throughout the whole race, I felt amazing. I had a little bit of a mental wall around dry run. Just it's that area, for some reason, that area that constant rolling hills. I'm just like, but I decided this year that if I hit it, I'm going to listen to some music, get myself pumped up, get out of it. And that helped a lot. And I just took off from there. I'm like, I'm finishing this race. There's nothing stopping me. I'm too close to call it quits now. And yeah, I felt so much better this year. I think strength training, mobility training, definitely if anyone out there is not doing it, definitely need to be doing it because you're such a better, stronger runner when you do that. So.
Absolutely. There's nobody out there who's 100 years old looking back and saying, you know, I'm too strong right now. I'm just, I'm just too strong. Like it's going to benefit you in the long run. 100% strength train everybody.
Yeah, definitely do it.
Are you signed up for Eastern States?
I am.
Okay.
Yep. I really wasn't even going to do World's End this year. I had signed up for Heiner 50K and that was going to be the only ultra I did. And then I talked myself into Eastern States. Then I'm like, well, if I'm doing those two, I might as well do World's End again and just give it a try. So my no ultras went to trying for the Triple Crown. So we'll see how that goes out.
Now, you talked a bit about changing your mindset. You know, your mindset went sour for a good bit.
About a year and a half.
Yeah. And what was there a moment or was there a time period or was there something that happened that helped get you out of it? Or was it just kind of a slow climb out?
I mean, it was a little bit of both. It was about a slow climb out. I tried to get out of it. 2021, that year was shot. I could not get my mindset right. I ended up Eastern States. I was DNF'd at Slate Run that year. That was the aid station. Ended up DNFing Black Forest. That mile 12 because I saw Dave sitting out there in his truck crossing the road. I'm like, I'm done. Take me up. So it was not a good year.
Was that when it was pouring down rain?
Is that? Oh yeah, that was miserable.
I remember seeing him in his truck, and I was stoked. Yep.
Yeah, because my mind already wasn't in it, and I hate running in the rain. So I'm like, this is not fun. I don't want to do it. And I really questioned whether I wanted to keep doing ultras after that, because like, I didn't feel like the love, and there wasn't fun to me anymore. Everything felt like a chore. So I did take quite a bit of time off from running, about 3 months after that. I didn't have any ambition to run. Wasn't fun. Gained about 20 pounds. I'm like, I need to do something. So started just running just for fun again. And then last year I decided to try Eastern States in the solo. Made it to Blackwell with 30 minutes to pass cutoff. So that was a little bit of a bummer, but that's when I started getting a better mindset, because I'm like, I know I can do it. My body felt good. I need to tweak my training more. I need to focus on other aspects rather than just running. And I think the biggest turning point, and it might sound weird to some people, but I went to Javelina last year when Trevor went with his wife, Hannah.
Yeah.
And I think that was his only DNF there, because he went out trying to race the elites. And I mean, he did awesome for what the amount he did, but I told him, because I saw him after I finished one of the loops, and I'm like, dude, you have all this time. You can walk the rest of it. You don't have to DNF. He's like, that's not what I do. He's like, I don't know how you guys can be out there as long. He's like, that's a feat in itself. And so he might not know it, but to me, that kind of struck something. I'm like, yeah, I might not be fast. I might not be making records or coming in first, but could he last as long as I can out there? Because he's not used to that. Like, it takes a lot more strength, I think, when you don't have an hour, 2 hours to sit in an aid station to make yourself feel better. You're just constantly, you got to go. It don't matter what you feel like, you got to go. So, and I think that kind of like made me see it from a different point of view. Like, I might think I'm slow, but some people, what I'm doing is a lot harder than what they're doing. So it's a nice perspective change that I didn't expect to really get. So that, I think that kind of helped a little bit. So I'm like, I don't have to be fast. I just have to be smarter about how I do it. So that definitely helped.
It's the whole point of why we started this show, Grace. She just answered it. Like, she just hit the nail on the head. Like, we all suffer in different ways, but it's still suffering. Right.
Oh. So, it's good too. It's not all suffering.
Well, when I say suffering, I mean good suffering. Yeah. We do it because we want to. But you know, somebody like Trevor, he might get done hours and hours before you, but he's pushing so hard it hurts 100% of the time, and he doesn't stop at aid stations. You know, where you like to somebody like you, or the back of the mullet is dragging out that pain the whole time and loving every second of it for hours and hours longer. So it's all the same in a different way.
Yeah. It's cool that you kept staying connected. I mean, would you say that you still stayed connected to the people in the community?
Definitely.
I mean, you have a lot of friends over, and shout out to the Hanover Moms Run This Town group, because they're pretty great. And I know you have a lot of friends over there. So was that helpful for you?
It definitely was. I think if I didn't have as many friends, I probably would have pulled away a little bit more. But when you see everyone posting about runs, you kind of get that like itch to do it again. You feel kind of left out sometimes, like, oh, I missed that. So it definitely kept me holding on to that dream that I can do this. I'm having an off time. Doesn't mean it's the rest of my life. I can still do this. So it's like, I did it once. Yeah. I can do it again. So.
Yeah. Yeah, you absolutely can. And I can't wait to see you crush it at Easter. And I know I saw you last year at Eastern States. And for the record, you were attempting it solo.
Yeah, I'm doing it solo this year too.
Oh my gosh, super tough. Yeah,
I do better without pacers. Like certain times, like East or World's End, I did have my stepdad Brooke pace me from Brunerdale to finish. just because I knew how my mindset usually gets around that time, and I knew I would need him. But I learned at Eastern the first year that I could focus more when I didn't have to, like, I wasn't focusing on, oh, who am I going to see here? Who's pacing me here? It's just mindset straight. Like, it's a long race. I'm by myself. Just keep it together. You're all you have. And sometimes I think I handle that, those mental lows that you get into a little bit better when I don't have someone to share it with, because sometimes I'll lean too much into them and it doesn't turn out well for me because I can't get out of the low then.
Yeah. Well, you pulled yourself out of that funk, and nicely done. It's an inspiring story. And, you know, anybody who's in a funk right now, what would you say to them, or what would you recommend to them? Anybody who's in that running funk, post DNF funk?
Yeah. I mean, obviously don't let it define you like that. Just because you have it, it's going to happen again. If you keep doing ultras, you're never not going to have a DNF. It's always going to happen. So I think you just got to learn from it. You got to pick yourself up and keep going. Whether you take a little bit of time off or not, just don't give up on it. Because like I said in my one post, like, your bodies are amazing. They can do amazing things. And one bad event's not going to define the rest of your running career. So definitely don't let it get it down.
Yeah. And I think it doesn't have to limit you, you know, one DNF or two or three or five. It doesn't have to limit you.
I think I'm at like five or six now. So
I got quite a few myself. So Jeff, same question to you. What advice would you give to somebody who's in that post DNF funk?
Yeah, I'd say, you know, take that in. Be sad, let the emotions kind of go through you, but then you got to get back on the horse. And if, you know, go to it, problem solve a little bit, figure out what went wrong. You know, get to it. I think Lacey hit that pretty good, where she's like, you know, your body can do it. It's an amazing thing, and it will endure and get through. So yeah, just stay with it. That's the perseverance. Just stay with it. And eventually it'll just come, you know, do better.
Yeah. That's the word I have next to my mirror in my bathroom, is perseverance. I got to keep reminding myself of that one. It's a tough one. Now you're on the other side of it, the both of you. So tell me a little bit about that feeling. You now have the buckle. You've got the buckle. How does it feel? Have you accepted that you did it? Tell us a little bit about where your head is, Lacey.
I mean, the most amazing thing ever was seeing those airstrip lights and not being out of time to see them, like, just to see them. Like, that was the greatest thing. And at that moment, like, it's kind of like an outer body experience. Like, I knew I was doing it, but like the next day it all just felt like a blur. I'm like, I don't remember any of it. Like, what happened? But it's like, I know I gave it my all. So I think even if I would have DNF'd again, I knew that I never left anything, no stone unturned, where I'm like, oh, well, if I did this, then I could have did it. So
right.
I think it's just, it was surreal, but I'm so happy that I got it. I'm happy that it's another step closer to the Triple Crown. So I'm hoping I can complete that, so I don't have to do all three races the same year ever again, because that is brutal.
So. Yeah.
I think it's worth, right now, it's worth noting real quick also that the World's End has a 19-hour cutoff for the 100K. Yeah. And Lacey finished in 18 hours and 49 minutes. So 11 minutes to spare, which isn't a ton of time.
And
Jeff finished in 18:43. So he had 17 minutes to spare. So they got their money's worth out there during the day of World's End race, for sure.
Yeah. And typically that race, there's I did the percentages for it last year. I didn't look at it this year, but there's a large amount of the finishers come in the golden hour. So that's as pretty typical. I think it's right around 40-50% of the finishers come through in the last hour. So it's a pretty exciting time. Now, Jeff, same question to you. You did the thing. So where are you at now?
Oh, yeah. So I post-race, right after it was okay. To be fair, I was looking for people to come through. I was hoping Lacey was coming through. That was on my mind. You know, had to give my dear wife a big hug because that was super important. And then, you know, I sat down and just kind of like thought about it a little bit. And man, that was a bit of an emotional, like everything kind of hit at one time, right? Because you know, I would suggest that this finish for me specifically has probably been a four year endeavor. If you want to do it. So there's been a lot of DNFs leading up to this, to be fair, but it has been a journey. And I think that that moment was just kind of like everything hit. So I was took that, kind of packaged it up a little bit, and then went home and had some food. Post race, you know, I've been thinking it, and I leading into the race, I wasn't sure how it was going to happen, but there was some doubt, a little bit of apprehension. I think now it's looking forward to the next one. So I have another another event scheduled for later in the summer, and so it's been okay. Well, that's great. It's done. Enjoy that moment for what it is. Be very happy about it. Share it with people. And now it's time to go see what else is out there.
Yeah. On to the next one.
One of the best parts about these ultras, and I see it a lot, I got to stay till midnight of World's End, and Eastern States, we stay pretty long to the finish on but a lot of this longer stuff, like you were explaining, a lot of what I see is people cross the finish line happy, they get their buckle, and then they sit down anywhere on a bench, on the ground, because they're covered in dirt, whatever. And then the floods of emotions happens. It's not even people, I just notice it. It's not even people I'm talking to. But it's cool to see, because like, where else do you actually really get to see that part of humanity coming out? You know, like, it's not too often that you see people in that state of mind anywhere else other than once they're drained themselves from suffering all day long. So it's really a cool thing to be a part of in that aspect of this ultra running community.
I said when I sat down, my stomach had been off pretty much half of the day. So when I did sit down, emotion hits and I start dry heaving because I'm just, my stomach is just not right. That particular thing, there's like a bunch of people standing around having conversations. Nowhere else in the world do you have somebody sitting on a picnic table bench, dry heaving, and someone standing like a foot and a half away, not even phased. Like, oh, no. Hey, it'll be all right. It's no big
it's
deal.
Fine. He's good.
It's
fine.
It's just normal. Get some Coke. Get some pickle juice. Just you're okay.
Yeah, it'll be fine.
It was. Now, it is a surreal environment.
Yeah,
I think one of the cool things to see for you, Jeff, with your training and with your race was the support and the partnership that you have with your wife, Carly. And me and Carly at certain points in the race, I'm like, where's he at? How is he doing? So she was giving detailed updates, and she's not a trail runner. She does hike. And so that, it was just very cool to see. And I want to give the both of you an opportunity to do any shout outs or thank yous to not just partner, anybody who was able to help you out with this finish.
To me?
I'm going to say the people. Start you, Jeff.
No, I said Lacey. Lacey goes first.
Lacey go first.
There we go.
Obviously, my stepdad, he, Brooke Barton, I'm sure a lot of you know him. Mm-hmm. He is my number one pacer. He's always willing to die with me out there and listen to me whine and cry and everything else. But he's one of the greatest pacers I could ask for, because he won't take my shit. He'll make sure I'm moving. And that's what he did at World's End. It's like, when I just got tired, I'm like, I want to walk. He's like, all right, well, when we get to this flag, you're running. So I'm like, oh, okay. But so definitely Brooke. My mom, because she was a great, I don't want to say she was like the only crew I had, but she kind of was, because Brooke helped out one before he paced, but she made sure I had everything I needed. She got me in and out of aid stations fast, and that was one of the biggest takeaways I had this year, was not spending time in the aid station that I didn't need to spend. So it's like, if I don't need to be there, I need to get out. And she made sure, like, if I was changing my socks or my shoes, she was getting everything else ready for me. So she definitely kept me going faster than I could have done on my own. So I definitely thank her for that. And then just all the people I know that are so, like, they're not even crewing you, like you and Aaron Wharton and Joey Vickers, all of them just out there cheering you on. Mm-hmm. Even if they're not there for you, they're there for you. And I just love that, because it makes it so much nicer when you can hear people yelling for you coming into aid stations, whether they're there for you or not. It's just, everyone's there for each other. And I love that. That's why I love the sport, because it's just, it's a big happy family. So,
yeah.
It is a big happy family. And it's always cool to see Brooke out there, because he's always in a good mood, and he is incredibly focused. Like, he was not going to let you DNF again.
Oh no. And he would not. He was like, I was going to shove you down the hill if I had to. You were going to make it. So.
I saw him at High Knob. He was ready to go. Now, you also, is your cat in there with you?
One of them, yes.
You also have, I love that you love your cats.
Aww. She's a purr.
Aww.
She's like, what the heck?
It's good to have some furry support, too.
Yeah.
And we had, I don't know if other listeners can hear it, but I think it's your peacock. You have a peacock or multiple peacocks?
Brooke has several peacocks that he raises and sells, so.
Oh,
they're kind of being quiet now, but they sound like a bunch of cats going off in the background.
Yeah.
You hear that. It's not the cats, it's the peacocks.
If you heard a sound that sounded like a cat, it's not a cat, it's a peacock. So, there you go. We're learning all kinds of things today.
Oh, yeah.
Right? We're learning about hashtags and peacocks.
Octothorpe. All right, Jeff. Let's hear who helped you out.
Yeah, so definitely my wife, Carly. She's the best. Super supportive, gets up in the morning. She's not a morning person, but she gets up. She was disappointed that the first aid station had moved to Onion Hole. She has enjoyed waking up at Soane's Pond several times, but definitely she's awesome. Has everything that we need and just keeps things going. I had some good pacers this year, Bobby and Juliet, Kinsley. They were out helping me this year. I got to throw a shout out to Caleb for last year, kind of keeping me moving as well. Great pacing crew. My family, like my parents come out to the races and cheer me on. So that's pretty awesome. I think they're coming from like 3.5-4 hours away into the middle of the Pennsylvania wilderness to watch, sit around for a long time. But they're out and supporting. Brother and sister are definitely around. Kids, they are virtual supporters, right? Text, hey, good job, good things. Yeah. So there's definitely a lot of good support. And then like Lacey said, there's the whole community, right? Mm-hmm. I have a great run group on Tuesday nights that are very supportive. I think if I asked those folks for, hey, you gonna go run, go for a long run, anybody interested, there's always people and there's always folks helping out. So it's just a great community of folks.
All right. Before this question gets lost in the chat, I got to ask this to both of you.
Oh yeah.
The belt buckles, are they going on belts and you showing them off, or are they going on the wall?
On my dresser with all my other stuff that I have. Nice. I don't wear belts, so.
Yeah. So mine is on the running shelf that Carly made me a running shelf for Christmas a couple of years ago. It has a place where you put the bibs and can hook all of the bibs on in like little plastic sleeves, has like little hooks, supposed to be for, I think, medals, but ultimately the medals, they don't really exist. So I have hats. I think I have like five hats or six hats hanging there. And it's prominently displayed next to my, my pog holder.
I know what that's from.
Yeah.
Fabulous. Oh man. So we got to the other side with all the positivity and all the feels, but Lacey, we know that you have Eastern States on the schedule. What else do you have fun on the schedule? What else is happening this year? Is that the focus?
For now, that is it.
That's smart.
I am debating on whether I'm doing Black Forest again. That's going to depend on just where my mindset's at after Eastern, because I don't... It'd be nice to get the blacklist, but also that's a long bit of training all year long. So we'll see where I'm at after that to see if I'll do that. But right now, it's just Eastern States will be the last big race I have, minus some 10Ks here and there that do for Roxavania, but that's about it.
Nice. Well, that sounds fun. It's good to just focus on one race at a time sometimes.
Yeah.
All right, Jeffrey, how about you? What do you got?
So the only other race that I've got going on, a big race, is Twisted Branch later in August, I think. And then there's stuff going on around. I think there's some, you know, shortest Mason-Dixon Trail Club stuff. They do some Equinox runs, shortest day stuff like that later in the year. But nothing that is defined and has to be trained for. So I think it's just kind of let's get through Twisted Branch. It'll be another big one, and then just kind of see what's going on.
Yeah,
have some fun runs.
Are you doing on the rocks?
I think I might do one loop. I think that.
Yeah.
I'm helping Scott out on that one.
Nice.
Yeah.
I'm on the same boat. I'm debating on one or two loops. I got a first birthday party that day, so I'm like, I could probably get two loops in before the birthday party. So.
Yeah, you can probably.
That was actually the 50K. There was my first ultra marathon.
Really?
Nice.
Yep.
That'll be great. I'm volunteering again. I love volunteering for Scott's races. That's fun.
That's a great race. I love that race, and it's close to home. So.
Mm-hmm.
For sure.
Second home.
Yeah. Okay, Eric, I'm good. I feel like we closed this chapter for these stories for the two of them.
It's great. Like a soap opera, like these are the days of our lives.
Well, don't they always have a cliffhanger? I don't really have one.
No, I think the horse is beaten, if you will. So, yeah, let's shut
the
down.
The horse is fine. And it's going back to the stable.
All right. Put it to sleep. No, that's good stuff. I mean, I enjoyed this episode. It's, you know, another part of the running stuff that we don't always think about. And it's real easy to DNF a race and say, okay, I'm done with that. On to the next one. It, you know, even for me to go back, to know that I have to go back and see this hill or see this descent that I hate or see this stream crossing that I dislike, knowing that I have to go back to it, do it again in order to conquer the goal, is for me, it's a big mind screw to get over to complete something. So anybody, including you two, obviously, that go back to... for redemption of any race, it's amazing to me, because it's real easy not to do. You didn't finish World's End 100K, Jeff. Okay, well, you got Twisted Branch 100K. Let's see if I can finish that one instead.
Yeah.
But no, like it. So to have it be focused and stick to that one race, it's admirable, and I like talking about it. It's cool to see.
Yeah. Now the two of you know each other, so I do want to give you an opportunity to ask each other a question. So, Jeff, Lacey, do you have one in your head already?
Kinda. I want to know if he's ever going to try Black Forest again.
So that's an interesting interesting question. So the intention is yes. However, not this year. So Carly is getting bees. So we're getting a beehive for the house this year. And that beehive is coming on the weekend of Black Forest. So the Saturday before the race, we will be acquiring bees. And she asked very nicely, would you please be available for that? And I said, absolutely, 100%.
Be available, huh? Get it?
Absolutely. So I think we're going to get the bees settled. And I think another interesting thing about this sport is we're going to make a pilgrimage up to Heiner Run for the rest of the day. So we're going to get the bees loaded up, get everything settled, and then Sunday go up to the race and just hang out and watch people come in.
Awesome. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, maybe you'll see me. I don't know. I don't know if I'm doing it yet, but well, maybe.
Yep. Yeah. So it'll be good. I know a couple of folks who might be running that race this year, and it'll be good to see them come in.
Aren't you running it, Eric?
Huh?
Aren't you running Black Forest this year?
There's a possibility. Yeah.
I heard you're racing Trevor. Is that what it was?
No.
He's That's a great up. Idea. Yeah.
He's I good. Like that. I think he's
I
good.
Like that. Now, Jeff, do you have questions for Lacey?
Oh, I don't. Questions.
Yeah.
Just let it buzz around in your mind a little bit.
Oh, my gosh. This guy.
So not quite yet. What is there anything else out there that you like? You Eastern States. If you don't hit it this year, is that one of those races that are that kind of sit in your brain and say I need to get finished?
At this point, I think it is, because if I do it for 3 times in a row and I still don't get it, it's going to make me mad. So I'm going to keep going back to try to get it. But I would like to try some other races. I'd love to try Twisted Branch. I've heard great things about that race, so I'm hoping I can get it this year so I can go out and do other races that I haven't done, because so many races are so close together. It's like you gotta pick and choose, and I want new scenery sometimes, so hopefully I get it. But if not, I'm definitely gonna go back and try it again, maybe take a year off from it, try something else and go back, but hopefully everything works out this year for it. So
yeah, we'll be rooting for you. We'll be rooting for you at Eastern States, and Jeff will be rooting for you at Twisted Branch. And we always close out, as you know, with what's happening for you this weekend. So, Lacey, what are you doing this weekend?
There is actually an antique fair in New Oxford on Saturday that we usually hang out at my husband's aunt's house and drink a few beers and walk around in an antique shop. So that's about the extent of my weekend.
That sounds lovely. Great. Thanks, Lacey. Jeff, how about you? What are you doing this weekend?
I am going to be doing some trail maintenance with Dave Strine on the Appalachian Trail.
Nice. So
if anybody that's listening wants to do trail maintenance on this Saturday, find me on Facebook and we'll figure that out.
Yeah, I did see that. Dave and Roxanne, they've been doing a lot of work up on the Appalachian Trail this year.
Yeah, so the York Hiking Club, I think, has a 6-mile section up Peters Mountain. So they've been they did some work on the shelter, repaired some of that, and I think it's just now summer weed eating and things, cleaning the trails up.
Yeah, nice. Eric, what are you doing this weekend?
Thursday, I'm heading down to Philadelphia. Lauren has her 2-mile national track race on Friday morning at 11. Then from there, we are heading straight north to Bar Harbor, Maine for the week with John and Amy Johnson. And so that's past the weekend, though. You're just talking about the weekend. The weekend's a lot of travel, Grace. Yeah.
Fun.
And I'm going to be running my butt off next week. So I'll be coming to this show from Maine next week, next Monday.
Nice.
Bahaba. Yeah.
When you travel, do you listen to music? Do you listen to books, podcasts? Do you just, everybody just talks? What do you do?
Becky tends to read an actual paperback book. Lauren tends to be on her phone. Casey tends to sleep, and I tend to drive. Is that answer?
Yeah. That's yeah. good.
Yeah. I mean, I'll have the radio on with music, but I should listen to a book. I don't know. We're not really a talk. Like, I don't know. We don't really talk that much.
Okay.
Complain. I complain a lot.
Yeah. I wouldn't want to, interact with
hey,
you too
just
much
say either. Yeah. Just say what you're going to say. It was hurtful what you were about to say. I could tell.
That would be so awesome to spend that much time with you in a car, Eric. I'm jealous.
Jealous. No, it's super fun. We're excited. It's going to be amazing.
It is going to be amazing. It'll be good.
And Grace, what are you doing?
I've got nothing major planned. I'm hopefully doing some adventuring with Callie, I think. And so we don't have no big goals right now. I love it.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, enjoy yourself. I will. I'm enjoying not having to work all next week. That's going to be amazing.
Yeah. Safe travels.
Thank you. Thank you. We'll let you know how Lauren does on Friday.
Yeah. Awesome.
Thank you guys for joining us, Jeff and Lacey. We sure do appreciate you. Hopefully we say this to a lot of people, but hopefully we can have you on again, especially Lacey after Eastern States. Maybe we can have you on and talk about it.
Hopefully for not a comeback. Well, maybe a comeback kid, hopefully.
Yeah. thanks to two of you for coming on. We really appreciate it. It was great stories. Tune in every Monday at 7:30 at night. You can watch us live on YouTube's and the Facebook, so you can catch us afterwards on Spotify and iTunes. And don't forget to leave some comments and some likes so that the algorithm monster can stay fed. We appreciate it. We appreciate you tuning in. Thanks so much.
Later.
Later. Bye.